Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use offer code KNOWHOW11. Today, you'll know how to make the web work for you using IFTT. And look, Tom Merritt. Welcome to Know How. That graphic might be an absolute lie. I am here. Maya Zach.
It'll be true again next time, though.
Next time?
Maya, that's the last time you've roped me into this.
So, yeah, for now, right now. I'm Maya Zach. This is Know How. This is the show where we show you great how-to projects. You can do them really simply, and they're lots of fun. And today, filling in for Leo Laporte, Tom Merritt, as we mentioned earlier.
Hello.
You've seen this fellow before. How's it going, Tom?
It's going well. I'm excited to learn more about IFTTT. I've done a little bit of work with it, but... Explain to the fine fettled folks out there what we're doing today.
I don't know if they're fettled today, but we're going to talk about
Explain to them whether they are fettled or not.
Okay, fettled or not fettled people, we're going to talk about IFTT. This is a great site. It's IFTT is if this then that. That's how you can remember how to find the URL, IFTT.com. And they have a really good explainer to them. It's IFTT.com/WTF. If we can see this.
So this is based on the if then statements.
Right, so you remember math class where you had logic proofs?
Sure, I actually remember that. Here, let me chalkboard it.
Okay, let's do that.
So if, actually, I remember this from early, like, basic programming, right? If x equals 3, then go to 10. Like your very basic programming stuff. So we're talking about that kind of thing, right?
Right, so what you have a variable and you have a different kind of result, right? You have a trigger and an action, right?
Right.
But this lets you do this the same kind of thing with a bunch of web projects. So if you have, like, Facebook or Evernote or email...
Okay, so instead of if x equals 3, if note in Evernote is your conditional, is star...
Yeah, I'll say that.
Then what? What would be it? Then what's the action?
Like send to email.
Send to email.
You can do that.
All right. Cool.
So now you can do...
That's much more useful than going to 10.
Yes, going to 10. I don't know if that's an option with if. There's lots and lots of different things.
Going to 10 doesn't come up in my natural life as much as it used to.
You know what? Going to 10, probably, I bet by now there's probably a website that says go to 10. It's probably social and probably will show up on IFTT.
Or it could be porn. I don't know.
Well, IFTT, by the way, works with tons and tons of different channels, they call them.
So you go to IFTTT, three T's, right?
That's right.
Dot
if this,
com?
Then that. .com.
Sorry. .com. All right.
IFTTT.com. And they have a great explainer. What is IFTT? They show you the channels that they work with. There are 56 channels available right now. There's triggers and actions. You'll learn all this lingo as you actually make your own recipes.
Yeah, the triggers and actions are probably obvious now, but the actions and recipes, we'll need to figure that out.
Yeah, so there's a great example of the recipes they show. If you take a photo on Instagram, send it to your Dropbox. I know this is one of Sarah's favorite ones.
Oh, so that's what the recipe is, just like, here's the thing you want to happen.
Exactly.
Okay, I got it.
So you can create them on your own. You can turn them on and off. You don't always have to have it.
Oh, I get it. And the ingredients are the websites, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there actually is a bit of extra information on the bottom here calling out the polling period. When you set up these actions, they don't necessarily happen instantaneously. Okay, so what IFTT does is it will check for a new trigger every 15 minutes. So it's not going to check your Evernote every 3 seconds.
Right. You wouldn't want it to.
No.
That would just fill the internet with IFTT checks and no one would get anything done.
There could be a bit of a mess. But there are certain sites that have instantaneous triggers. They're marked off with a lightning bolt. So they have push notifications or something on the back end.
Do they have kind of a partnership with those sites then? Or is it part of the API for those sites, maybe?
I'm not quite sure
but
exactly.
They basically send a signal to IFTT to say, hey, we're doing something, right?
I'm not sure exactly how it works.
I don't know if they use jazz hands.
But there might be jazz hands involved, but the information does move faster and they're marked off with a lightning bolt. So I think what I would like to show you guys is a quick tour of the channels, the recipes you can try out. You do have to sign up for an account to browse. The first thing you get is this big screen. You can't check anything out unless you sign up.
How much information do you have to give them when you sign up?
It's a username and a password you got to come up with.
That's
pretty simple.
They're not like asking for your home address.
Right? No home address, no credit cards, nothing like that. It's really fun, especially if you ever remember Yahoo. You ever used Yahoo Pipes?
Oh yeah, we actually used Yahoo Pipes to set up the RSS feeds for the CNET podcast. Randall Bennett did that like way back in the day.
Randall Bennett is a great example of hacking things together. He'll show you to do this with code.
He himself has been hacked together.
He's actually done polyphasic sleep. He's hacked his brain. he's a brilliant man. But the thing is, Yahoo Pipes is a really cool starter thing for you. But if you want something even simpler, Ift does it much easier than I've ever seen. It's a great gateway drug if you like messing around with things.
So do you have examples of what you've used this for? Do you actually use this in your daily life, or is it just for fun?
I do. The one I use regularly is Warn of Tomorrow's Weather. I got a screenshot of it right here. So if it's going to rain, I will receive an SMS. So I don't need to actually check the weather anymore because I always forget to check the weather.
So the SMS app, that's easy. You just put a phone number in, right? Mm-hmm. First, you have to be careful of your text messaging plan. Where does it get the weather from?
The weather, I believe, is from weather.com or okay. Yahoo. I'm not positive about that. But you just get a text from a phone number. It hadn't rained in California for so long when I got the message, because I set this up like 5 months ago. When I got the message, I didn't know what the phone number was.
It's cool that the conditional can be a typical. It's not just send me the weather report. You're saying, just tell me if it's going to rain. That's all I need.
There are other recipes out there that say, if it's going to snow, remind me to bring my shovel tomorrow. There are other parts of the country, there are different recipes out there. Like I mentioned, download my Instagrams. This is one of Sarah's favorites. She mentions this to me. She uses this all the time. So when you take photos in Instagram, where do they go? They go to Instagram. But what if you want a local copy?
And Instagram specifically does not have a web interface, or it didn't until recently. So a lot of people were like, well, if I can only see them on my phone, I got to collect a bunch of URLs to see them on the web.
Either that, or you have to take every image and save image locally and then do all this work.
Annoying.
This is absolutely automatic. So this just happens in the background. There's another one, which I think is an odd one. This is a very popular one currently. There's a list of the popular ones, and this is every status message gets recorded. Now, why I wanted to bring this one up, you can see the little lightning bolt under the Facebook logo, meaning when you put the Facebook status message, it goes into another row on a Google spreadsheet. So it's kind of this, if you're really obsessive, it's kind of good to keep.
I mean, because you can do data exportability with Facebook, right? But you would have to do it every time you did a status message, which that's annoying. So this just keeps a running log of everything you've put up there.
Pretty much. And that, don't forget, when you're doing the data exports with Facebook, you're getting much more data than just your status messages,
right? You can't do if. We'll talk about Twitter in a little bit.
We'll talk about Twitter.
I was going to say, can you do an if that pulls the status messages out of that spreadsheet and puts them elsewhere? Maybe not Twitter, but because you've got one taking the Facebook post and putting them in there, you could then pull them out and put them other places.
I wanted to chain a bunch of these together, try to figure it out.
That might
be one to try out a little later. I do like that. That's a good one. There's also one more. I like doing this because I have crazy ideas at any given time.
Believe me.
Tom knows this. In the middle of the show, you'll hear me typing feverishly. What am I doing? I'm on Google Voice because I'm sending a message to a document. I know it sounds crazy, but it says when I send this SMS, it's going to append to a document. If you've used Quicksilver on Mac, you're probably used to this kind of thing. You're constantly adding to one document without having to remember what the document's called. You can find it later. Big fan of this. And by the way, guys, if you're looking at the lower thirds and you're saying, wait, what are those recipe numbers? What's going on there? I can't keep the URLs in my head. Don't worry. It's going to be available at the show notes. We have everything up at twit.tv/KH. All the show notes, all the links to everything we showed you will be available there. So don't worry about that. We just wanted to put up the recipes to show you exactly how Ift shows them. Because it's like ift.com/recipes/a number. So we've got all of these fun recipes.
We've got some custom recipes coming up, eh?
Yeah, we're going to show you exactly. We're going to make one. And I'm actually going to give this one publicly. So I'm going to make one on this episode.
And now, I mean, that's a cool thing. I don't know if we've emphasized that, but you can share your recipes with other people.
Not only can you share them, but if you wanted to, you could keep it private as well. So you have this option to publish it, and everybody can see it. We're going to show you one that's pretty cool. I'm going to release it to everyone. And hopefully, if you want to use it, you can.
Into the wild.
But first, let's take a break. And thanks, Squarespace. Now, Squarespace, they've changed a whole lot of things.
You mean the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online photo gallery?
So you've heard of it, Tom.
I may have.
Now, yeah. Well, you actually use
No, I use it. I do. I used it for Forecast, the old show. We use it for Sword and Laser, and I use it for my my books. I've got a site for the books that I write.
Now, what I've seen with the new Squarespace is that it is really easy to use because it's really about getting your content in there, and Squarespace takes care of the rest when it comes to... Okay, it doesn't matter what screen people are looking at your content. Squarespace takes care of it. So if you like put up an image, it has Squarespace will create 7 different images. So if they're on a tablet, a phone, a computer, whatever they're using, the site's going to look right. Also, the designs, they change with the device as well. And you don't have to do any of the thinking when this is going on. Tom, this probably saves you a ton of time.
Yeah, well, what's nice about it is I just focus on making my message or putting my book up there, and you can drag photos in, and you know that you don't have to be like, oh, I got to resize this thing because somebody looks at my phone on the phone, it's going to look... No, it does all of that automatically for you.
And everything is drag and drop on top of that. And if you're worried about, okay, what kind of tricks and things are they using to resize everything, they're using HTML5, they're using CSS3, JavaScript, JSON. This is stuff that's basic on the web. So this isn't going to break later on. This is actually going to be better and better as time goes on. So it's really helpful and it's reliable. You know, we've shown off sites on KnowHow, and then everybody in the chat room, when we're live, they rush to the site. It brings the site down. Doesn't happen on Squarespace. They are really up. They keep their sites going at any given time. If you want to try out Squarespace, they've got a nice little promotion for you. You can use the offer code KnowHow11 and you'll save 10% off on your, I believe it's your first purchase. That could be a monthly plan or an unlimited plan. There's just, it's just really helpful to use the code KnowHow11. It shows you that you found out about Squarespace on our site. And by the way, guys, if you come up with your own great hack, your own tutorial, set up a Squarespace site. Try it out. Use the offer code KnowHow11. Your site's never going down. And if we actually spotlight it on the show, your site will still be up. So show you like KnowHow.
It's a great way to try it out, too. If you're like, hey, I've got this tip, this hack, but I'm looking for a place to share it, go to Squarespace. Use the free trial.
Yeah, because there's nothing like when people are like, oh, you have the definitive tutorial. Can't get to it. So try out Squarespace. Use the offer code KnowHow11. For a 10% discount on your first purchase.
So Thanksgiving's coming up. A lot of people looking for good recipes for sharing their Evernote. And
something like that.
No, okay, we got recipes. Recipes here.
Now, because I did not know if it would survive, I did this ahead of time. What I wanted to do...
The cooking showed it, is what
yes, I did. I wanted a way to get notifications for Twit Live specials. Now, we do a bunch of specials at Twit. Tom, you've done a bunch of them.
That's a great example because the Twit Live specials aren't on a daily or regular update schedule. They happen when something special happens. So like the election coverage that we did, or when Microsoft has an announcement, or Leo and Steve Gibson do a talk on sugar and diet. It's on a random schedule. So if you want to follow them, you may want an alert that says, hey, there's a new special in the feed. Go check it out.
Now, sure, you can do the RSS and keep that in your feed. But what you can do is we can use IFT to receive an email every single time. So if we can run that, Brian, we can show exactly how to do it. So we start off, we're at our dashboard, you've signed up, you're gonna go hit create.
Yeah, you already got an account at this point. Okay.
Right, so you gotta sign up for that. So I was looking at this, I'm like, what do I do? How do I start this?
Well, you click the underline thing.
Well, you're right. It's a link, it turns out. You gotta click the this. I was looking for a next, I'm silly.
You're overthinking it.
I gotta really dumb down a little. Then we're gonna click feed. Now we gotta go find, this is our trigger channel.
Oh, right? What are we making here?
We're gonna make a new item. Every time a new item shows up on that feed, we need IFT to find that. So we're gonna click that. And now
This is where we're putting in our item because it's an item that doesn't exist up there.
Exactly.
So you gotta put your URL in.
So right now we gotta find the feed URL, and I'm gonna go find the URL for the Twit Live specials.
How did you get to that screen?
That screen was a quick click over to Firefox because RSS management.
Okay, you just changed. You're just going to copy and paste it. Right. It wasn't like an automatic thing.
Oh, no. RSS management on Chrome I found disgusting. So I moved to Firefox.
Okay.
We're going to go find our RSS. This takes a little bit. We're going to copy the RSS from the URL bar. Going to hit Command-C. Going to move back over to Chrome in a second.
Or Control-C.
Yes, if you so desire. Obviously, I tried this out before. We're going to click this.
Paste it in,
add the feed, and this is going to create a trigger. So we've got the first part. So if feed, then that. Got to click that. What's going to happen now? What we want is we want to receive an email every single time we see a special show up in the feed.
Okay, so you chose email.
There's only one option here. It says send me an email. So we're going to click that. And then we can actually customize the email if we want. So right now you can see the things.
It's like a template.
Right, it's a template. So those things in blue are things that will change, that can change with the feed item. You can write any text there if you want to be like, hey,
that's what you wrote, any text here.
Exactly. You can customize it any which way you want. There are more ingredients, so you can click like entry author. If you click the blue, the little blue triangle there, or the blue shape there, it'll go into the subject line. It's up to you what you want to add. How much data do you want in the subject line?
Oh, so in other words, it'll say Twit is sending you this in the subject line because it's coming from the author of the entry
right.
of the special.
It'll give you a little bit. Well, I think it'll be in the subject line. It'll give you more information. And then you can write a description of your recipe. So if there's a new feed item, then send me an email. There's my email address for Twit if you wanted to use that. So we're going to write in this description. I think it's like Twit Live.
And this is what other people would see if you share the recipe?
I believe so. Yeah, this is a description.
So this is where you would tell them, like, this is what this does.
Yeah, so that way at least people have an idea of what this thing is about. And right now, once you create that recipe, automatically it's in your list of recipes and it's private. It's up to you to make it public. It's not automatically default public. So it's a pretty handy way to get things. There are also, I've created a couple other recipes where every time there's a Twit Live special, I could have it download the audio to SkyDrive or Dropbox.
Oh, wow.
Automatically.
So it's not just sending things. You could actually have it do things.
For Dropbox and SkyDrive, there's a 30-megabyte limit. I wanted to have the videos downloaded automatically, but because it had a 30-megabyte limit on the downloads, I wanted the audio only. So
now, Ayaz, that was very good. You prepared well, showed us how it works. We all get it now. I challenge you to do it live. Do it right now in front of the people.
Thanks, Tom. So I'm going to try to do that.
He was going to do it.
I'm going to do it anyway. So what I want to do is, this is a recipe that does exist already, by the way. I'm making this myself because, what I want to do is I want to create a four-square check-in that gets sent to my Google Calendar. Now, the reason why I want to do this is because a couple weeks ago, I was hanging out in the city, and I opened up a tab at a bar. And then I woke up the next day and I'm like, hey, where's my card? Where
so
did I go?
You want to log where you've been.
On my calendar. Because
okay.
when I'm looking for my credit card,
you want to know when you were there.
Exactly. Uh-huh. What was the last place I was in? Sure, I can go to Foursquare. But when I'm in a panic, I don't think check Foursquare. I check my calendar.
Well, your
first
calendar's
thing in the
already open, probably.
First
you,
thing,
you don't have to pick up your phone. You could just, yeah, okay.
First thing in the morning, it's up in the calendar.
It's actually just kind of a nice historical log, too. I kind of like it.
I like having it just because I want to what I want to do last weekend. Also, my memory's garbage anyway. So I'm going to go hit Foursquare, and let's see what happens.
Do you have to log in with your Foursquare account?
I believe you have to set an activation. So we're going to set any new check-in. I've already... You actually activate each of these channels.
Oh, okay. So you've already put in your Foursquare ID previously.
Yeah, Foursquare. Yeah, you've got to put in your ID, your password, and you have to like allow permissions for Facebook or Foursquare or Dropbox.
Okay.
These sites won't automatically work unless you hit activate.
That's good.
So, and also, with the case of Dropbox, you receive an email saying you have linked this account with Dropbox.
All right.
So now...
So trigger happy.
So anytime there's a check-in, there's no other options. We're going to create a trigger. What do I want to happen? I want it in my calendar. So we hit that.
And use GCal or something?
Google Calendar is one of the options here.
There we go. That seems easy enough.
It says quick add event.
It's your only action to choose from, so
right,
that's
so
what you're going to do.
It's pretty simple.
But that's that little drop-down where you just type in natural language and it figures out what happened and makes an appointment based on
so
it.
So I could write myself custom note, you were here. So every single time I see this, if I want to do a search in my Google Calendar.
Oh, yeah, that's actually practical.
As a metric, I actually log a lot of things in Google Calendar as if it's a diary myself. So I'm going to hit create action. And now all I got to do is write a description, Foursquare on GCal.
Cool.
So
and
that's,
done. And
so
that's it. Now it's active?
That should be active once I start doing check-ins. And you can see my recipes are listed right
here.
Check
in? Do you have your phone?
I could check in. I don't think Foursquare's got that lightning bolt, though. So it's
going to
take
15
minutes.
Minutes anyway.
But I can show you that on your recipe list. If you can look at the right side, here's a good example. Let's see if I can get... What's a good one? Here's a good one, the Foursquare one. I actually did this the other day. So I'm going to make this larger.
So post your Foursquare check-ins to Facebook.
It did that for images. I also did one for my calendar. You can see it says created 1 day ago, last triggered one day ago. It tells you when it was triggered.
So, so you haven't checked in for a day.
Right. Yeah. I checked in yesterday to work, and it showed up on my calendar, worked nicely. I did a bunch of different things.
Hasn't checked in. Steal the mayorship.
Don't you dare steal the mayorship at Twit. I worked really hard to get the mayorship at Twit. But here's a good example. On the bottom, again, the weather triggered 6 times. So you can really see when was the last time this was triggered. And I got the SMS 6 hours ago that it's going to rain tomorrow. So you have a dashboard to see everything that's going on there. So lots of different ways to see things.
Very cool. And it worked.
It did work.
Good job.
Nicely done. And good on IFT for staying up while we were doing that live on the show.
Thank you, IFT.
Now, we did ask you guys on Twitter. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, every week, or at least I try to, I ask a question related to know-how. And that's usually how you know what we'll be covering that week. So if you ask again and again, just check me out on Twitter. We asked you guys, what's your favorite IFT recipe? Now, because IFT's been around for a while, and they have all these different channels, we've got some really great responses. Patrick Delahanty wrote in. He goes, I use IFT and my Wemo to control lights in my house.
What's a Wemo?
A Wemo is this device that's kind of like an X10 device. It connects to your
home automation.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It connects to one of those devices. And in his case, I had a light set up to flash under certain conditions like new email. So if you get email, his light will flicker so he can see.
I would never do that. He must not get... Patrick, do you not get that much email?
Patrick, apparently, he's got an interesting idea. But you know the crazy thing is, you could do this with, that Philips Hue device where you can actually change the light color. I bet you could make this work. I think it's pretty awesome.
That'd be a little less distracting, I guess.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah. But people do it in the Baz tags and things. Anyway, we got another one from Jesse. He says he sends his Instagram to SkyDrive or Google Drive. Again, a guy who wants to back up all of his stuff from Instagram to SkyDrive or
Google.
That's
what we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
Right. Because you need a way to get your data. And Kevin Kelly also wrote in to say, I use it to grab new columns by my favorite tech writers, like at Inaco, and save it to Instapaper.
Oh, that's smart.
So you don't
An instant read it later list. Nice.
Right. So like when we're doing the feed about Twit Live specials, you can actually have IFT look for certain keywords too. So if you wanted to just limit it to anytime a Twit Live special is about Apple.
Right.
Have that.
Delete. No, I'm just.
Well, I can't. Well, then you would just say Microsoft and then you'd add it.
Block. Just give me everything else.
You could do something like that. So there are ways to customize it. So definitely try it out. I think it's definitely the one of the easiest ways to get started on playing with a bunch of these web things. You don't need to know anything about APIs. You don't need to figure out any kind of like calls or anything. You might have to worry about losing channels like Twitter.
You should be careful about what kind of apps you activate and only activate the apps you're going to use and deactivate and deauthorize apps if you're not using them anymore, stuff like that. There's a security aspect to this. Use a strong password on IFT. You don't want people hijacking your IFT account. But otherwise, yeah, it's dead simple. You can do lots of cool stuff.
Now, it's got one of the most popular old ones of IFT, one of the old recipes for IFT revolved around Twitter. Now, Twitter did a whole bunch of API changes, and we've covered that on Tech News Today. And that has caused a lot of things to break. So once a channel is no longer supported, by the way, those recipes don't continue to work. So if you wanted to use this, and for some reason, let's say Facebook changes the terms of service, or Twitter like it did, well, you might lose access to some of this. So it's really...
That was the only IFT recipe I was using, is my wife's tweets would get lost in... Did my, I follow way too many people. So I set it up to text message me whenever she posted. That way I was always sure to see what she had posted. And it was great until it went away.
Yeah, so the question is, can you take a tweet and send it to a doc and then send the doc to something else?
Yeah.
We'll see if we can figure out another workaround. Because there are certain things that were lost. I use Postgres for my blog. And Postgres was a channel that got removed. But Postgres also will publish blog posts if you email it. So I could send a feed to an email.
Yeah.
Doesn't work as fast. It took me about a day.
You can text message to Twitter. So you could post to Twitter from IFT.
Probably.
Through text message.
There's lots of different ways. There are workarounds. So if you're willing to do the work, it can also be used. I still want to chain a whole bunch and see what happens. I think you could have it recursive and make a mess, but I'm not really sure why
you
would want
to. I'm sure IFT would love you to try it. Maybe they would. Maybe that's good monkey testing for them.
Try to break it. By the way, guys, we've gotten tons of emails and lots of questions from you guys about all kinds of show ideas. And there's... there are some topics that you guys have asked for that are just, they're not necessarily a whole show worthy. So what I wanted to do was come up with a new segment, and people have been asking for this. So we're going to show you a quick tip on how to set up Windows on a Mac. A lot of you guys were asking about it. I'm Aya Zachter with Twit, and today we're going to give you a quick tip. You know, on Know How, we've gotten a ton of emails after we did our Hackintosh episode. In that episode, we showed you how to take OS X and put it on a PC. A bunch of you guys wrote in and said, hey, how do I run Windows on a Mac? And after this quick tip, you'll know how. Apple's made it really easy to run Windows on your Mac. They even include a tool built into OS X called Bootcamp, and that's going to tell you exactly what you have to do to install Windows on a Mac. Let's go ahead and try to do that. So the tool's called Bootcamp, and what we're going to do is a real quick spotlight search for it. You can actually find it in your Applications folder under the Utilities folder, but why bother doing that when you can search for it? Bootcamp. There is Bootcamp Assistant. Now you can see here it says it helps you install Windows on any Intel-based Mac. Now if you bought a Mac in the past, I don't know, 5 years or so, you definitely have an Intel-based Mac. So you probably can do this. We're going to print our instructions. Very exciting. I'm actually going to print it to my iPad because I like not killing trees. So on my iPad here, I have my Bootcamp installation and setup guide. Yeah, it looks long, but it's really like four steps. It's going to be really simple. Let's go ahead and continue with our install. So what Bootcamp needs to do is you need to download the latest Windows support. The thing is, this is a PC. It's running Intel. It's got a whole bunch of things going there. But you're going to need drivers on the Windows side. That's what this part's going to do. You're also going to set up a partition so you have a home for your Windows install. I'm going to save to an external drive, which is my thumb drive. I'm going to send it to For the Boot because it's so clever. So right now, OS X is grabbing the support software from the internet. It's going to take a while to download, and then it's going to be put on that external drive for you to use later. So now we're going to create a partition for Windows. Now, one of the cool things about Bootcamp is it's non-destructive. You shouldn't need to reinstall OS X. What this tool is going to let you do is take a portion of the hard drive and allocate that to Windows. I'm going to give Windows 50 gigabytes because why not? We're going to hit install. So we got an error. It says the installer disk can't be found. You know what? That's a good assistant because I haven't taken it out of the box yet. If you're going to install Windows 7 on a device like this, you're going to need the full copy of Windows 7. So we're going to wait for the disk to spin up, and then hopefully Bootcamp Assistant will actually see the disk now that I've put it in the machine. All right, so it's going to take a while to partition our hard drive because, again, Windows needs a home somewhere. I've already got a cup of coffee. You know, we should check out what's in this space. This is Twit's basement, actually. Look, we got shelves. Look, this shelf is empty. This shelf for Alex is don't touch. I'm touching the shelves, putting my coffee cup right there. Oh, look, it's Leo Laporte's ZDTV badge. What else is in here? Microphone stands. Light panels. This is good, you know, good for lighting. I like that. And as we all know at Twit, we always have test tubes for random tests. Awesome. Why do we have these? Now, partitioning the disk took a total of like 1 minute. It was super fast, way faster than installing the Windows support software. Now the machine is going to restart, and we're going to try to install Windows. Read and carefully follow these instructions for installing Windows on your Mac. Okay, install Windows. Sounds easy enough. Let's hit install now. Now, if you're looking at your Apple guide right here, can you actually see that?
Yep.
You'll see that this window is actually singled out because you need to know where you're going to install Bootcamp, and obviously partition Bootcamp is where you want to put this. You can notice that it has 46.8 gigabytes. I partitioned it for about 50. It seems like it was allocated a bit that way. So we're going to pick Bootcamp because that's where we want Windows to install. It says here Windows cannot be installed to disk 0 partition 4 because the instructions from Apple say hit drive options. What we got to do is format this drive. Here we go. Now we have the full Windows install happening, and we can just, I don't know, go for a long walk, I guess, because this should take a while. Come on, let's go take a walk. Let's go. Wait, there's a random person here. It's a Karsten. This is a nice place, you know? I can get used to working around here. You can stay here, though, Tony. Now, we had a tense couple of minutes when the Windows installer was stuck at 0%. All we did was we remained calm. Don't panic, because 10 minutes later, look, we're at 78% already if it's installing and expanding your Windows files. Take a breather, come back. It's probably taking its sweet time. So we're taking a look at Windows on a MacBook Pro, and you can see that it looks kind of awful because Windows needs drivers so it can actually support everything that's in this machine, and that's why we have our USB key that we made earlier. We're going to go into Explorer, and we're going to go to our USB key, which we called For the Boot. It's Windows Support. And we're going to run Setup. Okay, now we're at the Boot Camp installer. Now you'll be guided through everything. If you can read, you can do this. So you can see here what hardware is being installed or driver support being installed on this version of Windows. It's going to have support for things like your Wi-Fi, your obviously your Ethernet, your networking, your EyeSight camera, your trackpad. All this hardware is going to work as well as it should on Windows. Oh, good. We have audio. You can hear the audio is working because the audio drivers were installed. That's great. Now we have Windows. Let's run something you can't run on OS X, Internet Explorer. Now remember, this is a new install of Windows, so it's not going to have any of your settings necessarily. Not like your Wi-Fi passwords are going to be stored here. You're going to have to start over. So we're setting our network location, standard things that you're used to when it comes to Windows. We're going to hit close. We're connected to our network, and the first thing we're going to do with Internet Explorer is we're going to see if it works. Okay, so once this machine restarts, I'm going to want to use this in OS X. But how do we do that? Going to go to start, going to look for boot. There's Boot Camp right there. Do we want Boot Camp? Yes, we want it to do things. You have a Boot Camp control panel. You can decide what startup disk to go to on your next restart. I want it to start up with Macintosh HD, which is our OS X install. Can hit restart. I want to restart the machine. And it should go into OS X momentarily. So we got OS X running. We're going to go into our normal OS X install that we're used to. Now, if you're in OS X and you want to restart into Windows, you just go into System Preferences. You're going to go into Startup Disk, and you're going to hit Boot Camp. Then you could restart, and it'll go into Windows. There's one more way to choose which operating system to boot into. If you shut your machine down, you're going to hit Power, hold down the Option button as the computer starts up. And here you can see that you can either start into your Macintosh HD, your Windows partition, or even the recovery disk that's built into Mountain Lion at this point. We're going to choose Windows. Choose an operating system. Let's do Windows 7. Sounds like a winner to me. And there you go. Then you can start Windows right from there. So you have lots of different ways to get into Windows once you've set this all up. So this whole project took about an hour and a half to take care of everything. There was the partitioning, there's a download of the support software, there was the actual installation. So it'll take a bit of time, but once you're done, you'll know how to run Windows on your Mac. Well, okay, so guys, a lot of folks were asking, why not Windows 8? You know, Windows 8 just came out, you can put Windows 8 on a Mac, and you can. But one of the things about Apple support is that they don't have the drivers yet for Windows 8. And they don't recommend installing it just yet.
It's not supported. You can do it. There's lots of people. If you look around on the web, people are doing it. You can. You have to actually format the Boot Camp partition with NTFS manually. A couple of things don't work quite right. There may be some drivers you have to install manually. So if you want the easy way to do it, that's not supported by Apple yet, but they say they will.
Right. Boot Camp is the easiest, simplest way to do it. They don't have the official support yet. But one of the weirder things I've noticed is if you want to run Windows 8 on your Mac, I believe VMware and their virtualization software has drivers built in for everything on your MacBook. So I was just kind of curious why VMware is on top of this, but not Apple. Apple obviously not exactly going to go, oh, we'll support you guys. It really makes no difference to that company either way. But it's out there, and I'm really glad I got Windows on this because a lot of the things we try to do on this show, you need a Windows PC.
Yep.
They do. That's where all the software is. It's where the hacks are. It's what you want to use when you're doing many of your projects. So I'm really glad to have Windows on this. And guys, I really appreciate all the tips you guys are sending in.
And girls.
And girls. That's everybody sending in tips and emails. If you got show ideas or quick tip ideas, we're going to try to keep that as a regular portion on the show. You can send us an email at knowhow@twit.tv or send us a voicemail at 408-800-KNOW. And don't forget, we've got show notes on the web, twit.tv/KH. So if you want to look at old projects, We've got notes for every single thing. When it comes to videos, if you're like, you're talking too fast, you can just hit rewind. They're in HD. It's like all kinds of greatness over at twit.tv/KH. So give it a look because, well, we put a lot of work into it. So take a look at it. Okay, so now we know everything, right? So if we can...
Really? We're done. We're it. We know. We're ifted.
We ifted it. Yeah, so if the show is over...
Then what do we do?
Then we thank Tom Merritt for guest hosting this week and last week. Tom, would you like to promote anything?
Watch IaaS, myself, Sarah Lane on Tech News Today. Jason Howell is the producer every day if you want to get some tech news tips. At twit.tv/TNT.
Well, I'm going to promote your book site. I think it's meritbooks.squarespace.com.
Yep.
Big fan of
Chronology
Tom's
of Tech
books.
History is probably most of interest to this audience.
It's the newest one, and if you, it's good for people with short attention spans like me, I got to say.
Keeps
I'm like,
you snapping.
Exactly, because this is how I. It's a snappy book.
It makes them pay attention.
It does, actually. So now that you know how, go do it. Oh, quick programming note. Next week's Thanksgiving, so we've got no new episode next week. We will be back. The following week.
So now that you know how, go eat turkey.
Go eat turkey.
Whether you're from the U.S. or not. And then we'll be back a week after.
Exactly. And I believe a rested Leo Laporte will be back.
He's tanned. He's rested.
Ready.
He's ready.
He'll be back next week.
Bye, buddy.